For some of you who might have not been here for a while, and we've been going, we started already 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a message that Peter was sharing with Christians that time. And he's sharing with us today to help us in our walk with the Lord as God's people. And so he reminded them that they were really chosen people, and that all that they have received, the forgiveness for their sins, and the blessings that they have received is out of God's mercy, out of God's grace, his divine power. So there was nothing of us that really brought us to this position of being God's people. And that was what he said in chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge, through our walk with Christ, through our salvation, the salvation he has given us. Because through his calling, he has called us by his own glory and goodness. So he's God. He's all of God. He's his mercy. He brought us to this position. And that is why, as an apostle of Christ, the one who said that the Bible is the word, that is what he said. He said, we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. This is Peter. And through the Holy Spirit, that is, he shared this truth with us today, is for us, so that we as God's people may complete the journey here in this world. It's getting hot and it's getting tougher, but we are made also able to go through it, isn't it? Not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And that is what really God is going to remind us of today. And Peter is just, all he's doing, he's just encouraging us here through the Holy Spirit that we are not to lose heart as God's people, regardless of what is happening and regardless of the conditions that we are facing. And then he said, like, look, you have been given faith. Faith is a gift, isn't it? I said last week. Faith is a gift. Do you have faith? Because faith is trust. Even as we were hearing today, when things, not necessarily when they are bad, when they are good. And I will give you some illustrations that I heard even yesterday. I was just so encouraged. So you have been given faith by which you receive salvation, and also faith by which you live. And then he asks us to add to that faith, you see, virtues. And let me read them and not to explain them even. He said, okay, now you have faith. Now you are saved. And now you are living really by faith. And you are doing all right, you see. But you can do even far better, you see, if you add to your faith. If you add to your faith goodness. And goodness is an attitude, actually, of security, of rest. You see that you have been carried by God's grace at all times. You are acting in such a way that brings blessings to others. You see? And then he says to goodness, knowledge, you will know. Practical knowledge. You will know the presence of the Lord. You will know his voice. You will know what he is saying, what he wants you to be. And then knowledge, self-control. Oh, how much we need, how badly we need this self-control thing. You see, virtue. We need it, isn't it? In our relationships, even in temptations, you see, is a virtue that we are called to possess through the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because these things that Peter is listing for us here are the fruits of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. And also we read them also in Colossians 3, verse 12. Also these things, all the apostles of God through the Holy Spirit, they know these are indispensable qualities that if Christians possess, as Peter will say to us, like perseverance and brother kindness and love. He says, if you possess these things, you will be effective. You see, in your Christian witness, in your Christian life, in your Christian ministry, in whatever you do for the glory of God, you will excel and actually you will bear fruit. Well, there is a crazy book now that came out and a lot of Presbyterian pastors are reading. I was meeting up last Friday with a friend of mine and he said, "Oh, have you seen these books? Really, faithfulness and fruitfulness." You know, some may be saying, "Oh, it's all that you need in your Christian ministry is faithfulness. How about fruitfulness also in the ministry?" You see, actually, fruitfulness should be really a product of faithfulness. And faithfulness without fruitfulness, Peter is saying to us that we need to add to faith these virtues so that he gave us a great reason, a big reason. And he said, when you have these qualities in increasing measure, what will happen? They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your ministry, in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means in our knowledge of Jesus Christ is our walk with him, actually, our faith. You say, "I'm a Christian. I know Jesus." You see, that is what he's saying. A person who is walking with Christ, that is, say, who has a knowledge of Christ. You see, of what he is expecting of his follower, of his friend, you see, at all times. That doesn't mean that we may not fall like that, fail. No, no, no. He said, like, when we fail, we rise, you see. We rise, for he delights in rescuing us if we turn our hearts to him again and say, "Oh, this is not our position." We are called to win and win battles, you see. We are called to love when it's not time for love. That's what we read in Ezekiel 16. God passing by this child that was like kicking in his blood, you see. And the Lord says, "It's a time of love. And I've loved you and I picked you up and cleansed you and made you ready, you see, to praise me and to follow me." You see, it's a work of God. And Apostle Peter, through the Holy Spirit, is encouraging us really to be effective believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't just wait to get to what really, I'm so excited about what really I encountered yesterday, just only yesterday. Yeah, so he's encouraging us to do this. So can we really do without the Christian's virtues? These Christian virtues, can we do without these things? Or even just like to ask you another question. Do you remember them? Well, I just read them, isn't it? Have you made effort to put them on? That is what really Peter is saying. He said this. Make every effort, chapter 4, verse 5. Make every effort to add to your faith. Maybe I didn't tell you how you make effort to do this. How do you do that? It's a good way. It's a good Christian task, isn't it? Well, when you read the Word of God and when you pray, God works by His Holy Spirit really to build you up. And as you are built up, these fruits, they manifest themselves. You see? Because you come across the Word of God that teaches you to be kind and not to pay evil for evil, to have a pure heart. Yeah. So as you do this, you deliberately read the Word and pray and also even ask the Lord to give you these gifts, because He answers prayers. Well, we are told to do this. And now, in verse 12, he's just like coming back to the same thing, isn't it? He said in verse 12, "So I will always remind you of these things." And we don't want to be reminded, isn't it? Sometimes we don't want to be reminded, especially with my children. It's like, if you want to say something, say, oh, you told us, all the time like that. But you just want to remind them. You want to make sure that they know this. Oh, you told us. Oh, yeah, I'm so glad that if I told you so, well, I hope it's not harming you now to do this. I think something to that effect. Peter is saying, I will always remind you. I will always remind you. Oh, how about this? I will always remind you of who you are, precious child of God. You are so precious. Reminding us of what the Lord has done for us and all that are there for us to put on so that we may win souls, we may encourage people who are despairing, we might preach the message of salvation to people heading to hell and destruction, and you see the life of Christ coming powerfully, snatching them and bringing them out, and themselves becoming instruments in Christ's hand to bring him glory. So to be reminded is a very good way to help us or to help someone avoid unnecessary troubles, isn't it? You are reminded. So this road is not safe, isn't it? So you are given a sign just to warn you, to tell you that don't do that. And do you think it's just something that Apostle Peter has invented out of his own, or is just rooted in God's redemptive purposes and work with his own people? Well, in the Old Testament, we see how God would tell his people always, remember what I say or did, to continue marking his people out to be his own, reminding them of who they are. If I can just quickly turn to Deuteronomy 5:15, we will just realize how God is always would not stop reminding his own people of who they are and what he has done for them. In observing the Sabbath, even as I was sitting here, I said, well, look, why do we come to church as Christian? Well, we are coming to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that is true. But actually, we are obeying the commands of our God. Observance of the Sabbath, isn't it? The Sabbath means rest. It's not Saturday. So we observe this as Christians. And we chose Sunday because it's the day on which Jesus rose again and our redemption was completed. You see, and his resurrection was a sign. So he just wanted to remind them. He said to them, remember, verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. You see, God's reminding his own people. So let us be reminded that we are to live as Christians with all these fruits of the Holy Spirit manifested so that we can be really effective. Yes, so the whole Bible is full of reminding. He says here, do not eat all these things that the earthen people are eating. Do not eat it with bread made with yeast, because yeast points to sin. But for 7 days, eat unleavened bread. That was a reference to the Passover celebration that they were having. The bread of affections, because you left Egypt in haste so that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure, the time of your salvation, the time when God brought you out. So we need to do this. When you walk, you say, who am I? You need to be reminded in our actions and the things that we want to do. And my favorite verse in Exodus 19 is just incredible. is one of my really close to my heart. And it also has something to do with God reminding his own people of what he has done for them. He says to them, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord God called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. You see, he just wanted to remind them, remember this, what I have done for you. So, to be reminded of a teaching we have received is very important, and the calls on us is so important to receive. And Peter went on to say, I'm reminding you of these things, not because you don't know these things. And he said to them three things. You see, he says to them, and he's saying to us, even though you know, these are people who know the truth, isn't it? They know. It's not just like he's not speaking to people who are just like, don't know these things. He says to them, you know, I know that you know. Not only that you know, but actually you are established in this truth. How about that? You are established in this. I'm speaking to the right people. I'm speaking to people who are really God's people who are doing. But he just wants us to excel in this. People who are established in the truth. They know the truth. They are establishing the truth. And then this is what he's saying. He said, not only that, you know and you are firmly established in this truth. And then why then he wanted to do this again? So he wanted to tell them that God is God who shows grace always. In case you are lacking in this, you may pick up again, isn't it? Well, I got to the point that I want to to share with you. Yesterday I was taking a funeral service of a man who used to come to our church here. His name is Rath. He passed away in May. Somehow there were process. His burial was delayed. It was Bonorong Cemetery, the chapel there. People turned up, and I was leading the service. I was feeling my need a little bit. I needed more work of the Holy Spirit. And then we went through. Then we got to the time where the word of encouragement were invited. And there was a man, the first speaker, to come and encourage, was an amazing man of God. An elder in the Presbyterian Church. And I would suspect that he would be in his mid-60s, if not late 60s. A man full of the fire of God and the faith. He got up. When he started really to share, he electrified the whole company of the mourners. And the thing he was telling us, he was reminding us of who Christ is. And we were able to be caught up in that by God's grace and by God's Spirit. He told us a story back in South Sudan in the 80s, when the war was just like really between factions. And he said, they were in a small village. And really a report came that there will be a battle between two warring armies with big artilleries. And then the villagers, they started to desert the village. But it was on Sunday morning. And four of them, they conferred among themselves. They said, shall we run with everybody and not attend the service? Or not come to worship and worship the Lord Jesus Christ? And then they talk among themselves. And the reason he was sharing that with us, he was referring to the mother of the late Rath Gore. And he said his mother, the mother of the man we are about to bury, she was a warrior. She was a great Christian. She was a follower of Christ. And this is what happens. When we were there, four of us, we say, shall we run? They say, no. And then this woman say, no, 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 no. We are not going to go away. We are going to go to church and we are going to pray and to exalt our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who has defeated all the forces of darkness. And they say, all right, we will pray. And then they got into their church. And then they were starting, the war really broke out between the two armies. But they were engaged. And he said to us, one person was leading the service, and another person, four of them, another person was beating the drums. And the lady herself, she was praying. And this elder, he said, and I was preaching. You see, and they preached. And they went on. Maybe then they collected their offerings. And then after 2 hours, really the battle, even like I think went on for 1 hour, was a fierce battle. And big bullets and artillery were just flying over the church, and even they were not even bothered. And he said when they came out, really, unfortunately, there were people who were killed and people who were wounded. And they started really to attend to those people themselves. And he said even he had some medicines with him, this elder. And they said they started really to attend to the sick and to these people to help them out. And he said like 5 hours later, the villagers, they realized that things are quiet, and all the armies, they withdrew to their really compounds. And then they came back. And then they found these three men and this woman of God helping the sick, they said, or the wounded. And the people start to wonder, are you all right? Nothing happened to you. And now you are helping these people. So, wow, maybe Jesus was protecting you as you were praying. And this man said, the following Sunday, many people committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the witness of these people. And this man, he was reminding us that Jesus is alive. He defeated death and he gave his strength to those who follow him. No matter what happens, we will be able to endure and to praise God and to press on in faith. So it is good to be reminded. This man, yesterday, he reminded us. And he went on, his histories are histories of faith. And Peter is saying also, like here, I'm saying this also to refresh. This is the second R. The first R is reminded, to be reminded of the truth, you know, that you know and also you are established in. But I want to do this to refresh your memory, isn't it? Because when it's like computer, I'm hopeless with computers. You see, but I think people who know better, they refresh the memory of the computer. And then the computer will function. If they didn't do that, they may want to waste thousands of dollars trying to fix a problem that they could just solve with just refreshing the memory of the computer. Just the computer will need only to be refreshed. Like many of us who are Christian, all that we need, not a new truth, may be to refresh the very old truth, for it will always be the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So he says this, so to refresh your memory, so that you will not be caught up in new ideas, thoughts, that will take you away from the Lord himself. Not by if you drink water in a certain way or in this cup or around this time, or if then you are okay. Or if you walk in a certain way or dress in a certain way, you see, and then people will like you and you will be very famous. Like basketballers, you see what they do. This young man, he's only 21, a South Sudanese guy who was playing against the USA team. And a match that they say the world will speak about to the rest of the time people ever live. They say all the NBA's finals put together, there has never been a game like this. A country that got their independence 13 years ago, and then is speaking I mean, playing against the team that was they found even the basketball. So this guy, they were playing. USA was 99, and they were just like 97, and they said the game has to be like really three-point shoot because they just do like that, very tall. And so this young man, 97, 99, he just got the ball, he ran there, all the way there, and he just pushed the ball. Three! South Sudan, 100. USA, 99. And they were going crazy because the best players, multi-million, millionaires. And this boy, after he shot that, and then he was just walking like this. So he became famous of doing that movement. So not for you and not for me. We are not to do anything just like to be known of this or the way we look or whatever. We are to be known of the fact that we are followers of Christ. I want to refresh your memory. And he is doing this. He is doing this himself, Peter. He said he was doing this because an apostle of Christ, he has the obligation to do this. That is what he said, as long as I live. You see, as long as I live. So I was thinking of this. I said, well, look, yeah. This man who refreshed our memories yesterday, he's alive, isn't it? And I believe he could say the same thing like Peter saying, as long as I live, I will spare no time to tell my fellow believers that let us hold fast to Christ our Lord. You see, that's what Peter is saying. He said, I was there. I knew my weakness. I was a failure. I was someone who was losing it altogether. And Christ came and restored me. You see, and he said, as long as I live, I will encourage you and refresh your memory so that you stand firm and we further the kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who deserved to be glorified because he is the Lord of the Lords and he is the King of the Kings. And we know from the scripture that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, regardless of what the unbelievers are saying today in pride and arrogance. He said, I want to refresh your memory as long as I live in the ten of this body, the ten, they call it chema. Chema. Chema is, or ten is a dwelling place of something so precious, isn't it? You see, so his spirit, his soul. You see, this ten, he say, he said, I want to refresh as long as I am alive. Because he said, there will come a time where you will be alone. And it's true for all of us. There will be times where there will be no one to help us, to refresh our memories, and to encourage us in our faith. And we are ourselves to mind ourselves, so that we refresh our mind and our thinking of on the mission on which the Lord has put us. Yeah, there will come a time. How many lonely days and nights for you? And you feel you come low in your faith. You come low and you think that you lost it altogether. And God in his mercy, and he will just lead you to the scriptures and will remind you of situations where he has shown you and he will say to you, remember, I have promised that I will not leave you nor forsake you. At your darkest hours, close to death like that, saving you for a purpose. He might remind you of this, that the work I have did in your life, it's not just a decoration to make you great and to make you better than others. No. It's just I want to lay on your heart and your mind a great responsibility that you speak of my name and you declare the truth and you be kind to the vulnerable and to those who are defeated in their sins and to tell them that Jesus Christ reigns. How much we need this reminder that there will come a time when we will be alone. And this is where really well, your faith will be so wonderful, great, isn't it? If there is something that you can jump and thank the Lord and act like a hero, this is your moment when things are very bad and you are doing it tough. Yeah, let me go quickly to the final things. Let us not forget that we will have good times and bad times. Good times I'm privileged to have great friends like you guys. But there may come a time where I will not have friends like you. The same thing. And that shouldn't cause you to burn out of your faith. Instead, to burn even more and more, encouraging yourself with Christ, like David did. He encouraged himself with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let me go further. And then he said this. Because this man also, he just in passing, he said to me, to us, that Christ speaks to us actually. This is the privilege of all Christians, that he will speak things to us even our death, our departure from this world. And he said, the Lord has revealed to him in verse 14, the Lord has revealed to him, the Lord Jesus. And he said, our Lord Jesus Christ, not my Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, our Lord, our good Lord. You see, so these men, they don't look down on people, you see. We are just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Before him, we are equal before the Lord. Because he's our Lord and we are his followers together. Hallelujah. What a privilege. What a freedom. To save us from pride and arrogance. Brotherly kindness, you remember? This man is exercising it. Peter, saying the Lord told him that, he made it clear to him that he will leave this sin. And he says, I will make every effort again to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. That is the final song. How about that? He said, even after my departure, you will be able to remember. He is reminding us. He is refreshing our thoughts, our minds. He is wanting us to remember even when no one to encourage us. How about that? How about that? What a privilege to be given a message like this as God's people. Shall we lose heart? No. And then after this, after the funeral, just to finish with, we are not doing very bad, huh? 2 hours. In Africa, 4 hours, 5 hours. You see. And actually the ministry, the true work of God will begin after 2 hours. Other people sang, singing and praying. And then maybe after 2 hours, the Lord will just decide to pour out his presence and bless and do his work of healing in our midst, and also encouraging us and blessing us and is speaking even to us. How about if you just go away and you want to come turn up and you want to do that? But we are not doing very bad. So let me do 2 minutes. So after the funeral, I came here. I was trying to go home. There were a lot of kids. I said, oh, yeah. I can't think. And then I decided to come to the office, and there were my dear brothers, and they were having like fellowship. What an encouragement. And Lydia was going out, finishing. She's just finished some of the work. And then I got into the office to do that. Yeah, well, I work and I work and I prayed and I prayed and I was singing and doing things. And then after that, my wife, she went to encourage this sister of late wrath. And so she went there and she said, oh, I'm here. And then could you come and pick me up? And I went to pick her up. And then the man of God was there again. The man of God was there. And I said, oh, he got up. He said, oh, yeah, I see you again. Thank you so much. And they thought I did a good job. I can't just. Sometimes our worstest times, when we don't feel anything as Christians, are maybe the best times where we have really maybe have helped someone. Because the power does not lie with us. It's with Christ himself. So he told us 2 more stories as I was sitting there. And we finished with prayer. He said, Jesus Christ answers our prayers. He mentioned again, he said, he traveled around with his family, with his clan, and they were from Jongole area, and they went to a place, and he said this, he started this. He said, there is a place called Wunquil. These people will never forget me for the rest of their life. And why? He said, he came, they were going back to their territory after a cattle camp, because in the summer, they go to where there are a lot of water. And on their way back, it was Sunday. And on Sunday, this man will not miss a church. And then he picked up his Bible and then his hymn books, 2 friends, and then they want to go to the church. And then they got there before everybody, and they found the drum. And then he picked up the drum, and then he started beating the drum. And he starts singing. And the whole village came out. And they say, come. There's a man who is here. He said, the whole village came out. And he said, the whole village, even those who were not going to church before, they came out and they started to worship. And as they started to worship, after the service, the people there said, oh, go bring all the food in the village to all the worshipers here. And he said, they went out, they brought the food. And then because there were people with cattle, a lot of milk. And they say also, they sent a message to their own camp. They say, bring out all the milk. They had a feast. And he said, many people committed their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, many are histories reminding us that let us practice our faith. We might be a blessing to many people. You see? Even Jesus Christ speaks, huh? He speaks. Do you believe that? I got two more testimonies. I will spare them for another passage in the future. Hallelujah. Can you remember these three R's? Remind. The Lord always would love to remind us. Not because we don't know the truth. Not because we are not established in the right truth and foundation. It's just that we might stand even more firm. And for our faith to be refreshed. To be like when we first believed. All the excitement of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And know the winsomeness of the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. And his leading by his Holy Spirit. Let us pray.